Today on Real Radio.
But didn't Jesus say in John chapter 4, verse 24, that the Father is spirit and he is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth? We need to stop talking about Christianity and live it. And that's how Elizabeth's neighbors and relatives got saved. Do you really believe in a hell? If you and I really believed in a literal hell, we would crawl across this nation on glass to rescue one of our nephews or nieces or uncles or aunts or moms or dads or sons or daughters if we really believed it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. What we often call the Gospel of Luke differs from the other accounts of the life of the Messiah in a number of ways, which we have already explored so far. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in Luke chapter 1 in a presentation simply called God at Work.
Look at verse 27. It says, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel announces or says, rejoice. This is a great word. When the angel announces rejoice, the word in Greek means, watch, you've got something to rejoice over. Isn't that a great announcement? We read it in English as rejoice. The angel says to her, Mary, you've got something to rejoice about. In a moment, you're going to hear her say, what? What do I have to rejoice over? She's not going to doubt the message like Zacharias did. She's not doubting at all. She's questioning, church, listen. She's questioning, can God use a simple person like me? And that's your question also. Can God use a simple person like me? Can God use a simple person like us? Church, God gets the glory when he uses simple people. Amen? Warren Wiersbe wrote in his book, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. God calls you. If you're breathing, if you're a Christian, your voice tonight, how about this morning too? Your voice this morning should be, Lord, how can you use me? Lord, use me. Lord, here I am, send me. God, how do you want me to influence the world that you have me exposed to? It would be a sin, Christian, for you and I to live our lives and miss the plan of God for us. I don't know about you, but I'm terrified of missing God's plan for my life. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of Satan. I'm not afraid of anything else. You know who I am? I am very capable of ruining my own life. I'm terrified of me. My prayer is, oh God, keep me away from me. Lord, don't let me lead me. Don't let me guide me. Don't let me call the shots. Why? Because when I do that, I get in trouble. When he is not the Lord in my life, I have to stress that. He's always the Lord. But there are times when I'm tempted to take the reins back because either I'm thinking he's too busy or I need to get this done now and I'll help him out. That's normally the case. God, I know you're busy running the universe. I'll help you out on this one. Oh, boy. That's when I run up against the wall, you know? But the truth is, Lord, here I am. And God will do the doing. Last service, someone out there said, oh, we've been visiting, been coming for a little bit, and You run a pretty neat ship here. And I told the guy, we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea. That's what I told him. We do not know what we're doing. Now, as you're visiting, don't tell me if you're visiting. Because if you wanted the 15-year plan, sweetie, we're just trying to hang on until Jesus gets back. That's our 15-year plan. Well, what's the 10-year vision? 10-year vision? The 10-year vision is to be with Jesus. Well, what's the 1-year vision? To be with Jesus. How about today? Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that's what we want. We want him. So we're going to live our life, and we're going to come before him and say, listen, can you imagine, in an audience this size, can you imagine if just this service said to him, Lord, here I am, like Isaiah did, send me to whatever you want me to do. If that's down the street, to the neighbor next to you, or around the world, God will do it. He's just waiting, and he comes, and an announcement is made to Mary, and she is very willing, as we shall see in a moment, to present herself unto the Lord. But his blessings come in very unexpected ways, and the angel says, rejoice, meaning, Mary, you've got something now to rejoice over. Look at verses 28 to 30. He says, rejoice, highly favored one. This word, highly favored one, is grace bestowed. One who has had grace bestowed upon them. Church, listen. The word means she didn't earn it. She had no attributes or qualities of her own. The word literally means in the Greek, and God could have used a different word if he didn't mean to. The word means God has selected you out of all the people of the world, listen, to bestow his merit, his favor upon you, Mary. God says, I'm blessing you. It is a willful decree of God, and we will see why and how he does that in a moment. The angel says, the Lord is with you. She had a heart for God. Blessed or well off, happy are you among women. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and I love this, she considered what manner the greeting was. You ought to circle that word, considered. It's the word meditate. Listen to what Noah Webster says about the word meditate. And I want to ask yourself as I read the definition, do you and I do this? Noah Webster says regarding the word meditation, it is the willful clearing of the mind of common thoughts and concerns, so that the mind is localized upon just one thing. It is to aid in mental and spiritual development, to meditate. Church, listen, this is something we need to resurrect. For some reason, we hear the word meditation. And what do you think when you hear the word meditation? That guy that's on PBS? Yeah, exactly. Who is that guy? Have you seen him? And he's there, he's sitting there like this. And he's going, And I'm not just making fun, because when you ask of him and what he does, this guy, this guy, the meditator guy that sits on that rock out in the middle of the woods, what are you doing? I am focusing all nature into here. I am becoming one with the universe. Okay, well, is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? When we think of meditation, we think of like some New Age trip. And that's not what the word means. The word meditation means to take this deep truth and to eat it up. It means to take the time to consume it, as Noah Webster says, to clear the mind of all common thought. You know what a common thought is? I got to get going. I got to get my coffee. I got to get a donut or a bagel. I got to get on the freeway. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. I can't be late today. And that's common thought. That's the stuff that you and I deal with every day, right? But listen, just because we're commuting doesn't mean we have to worry about the commute. What we ought to do is turn off the music and think. Take a verse, maybe like this one, and put it on the dashboard, write it out, and begin to eat it up. What does that mean? To meditate? For example, Psalm 3 tells us that salvation is of the Lord. Begin to meditate on that. Salvation, Lord. Turn off things. Set time aside. If that's not your situation, get under a tree, take a walk, whatever it is. Mary was of the nature to consider the thoughts that were given her. And she is just eating it up. We need to meditate more upon what God has said. And listen, if we do that, we will worry less. That's a fact. Absolutely true. She meditated upon those things. Look at verses 31 to 38. Listen, God is at work and he designs a blessing, and he does so with great attention to detail. Great attention to detail, and he does that in our lives as well. Verse 31, 8 things is announced. Behold, that word means look. Open your eyes, Mary. Open your eyes. Number one, you will conceive in your womb. This does not mean that Joseph and her are going to have sex someday and she's going to be pregnant. The announcement by the angel is it's going to happen momentarily. The Greek implies it is going to happen momentarily. After his departure, the angel will leave, will marry experience? Will she get goosebumps? Will she whatever? We don't know at this moment. The announcement simply made, Mary, you will conceive in your womb. Now, to a young girl who's about to be married, that is not impossible. The beautiful thing is the word here that she will conceive in your womb speaks of uniqueness. Mary, you are going to become pregnant, but it's not going to be by normal human biology. Now the angels got her attention. What is going to happen? Number two, you'll bring forth a son. The gender of the child is prophesied. Why? The Old Testament scriptures prophesied not only the gender, but the name of this son that was to come into the world. Going all the way back to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, where there the announcement is made that a son would be born and brought into the world. Isaiah 9, 6, that a son would be born and brought into the world. The ancient Jewish people, even in Mary's day, knew and understood that the Messiah was going to come. Church, listen. The very prophecy of the Messiah coming into the world to present himself a salvation for mankind, written in Psalm chapter 22 and Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, announced that the Messiah would come and bear the sins of the world. That was given. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, announces that very thing. That is not new. Even in Mary's day, the coming Messiah was anticipated. But my friend, what is announced, listen, what's announced in the Old Testament, for that's what she had, that's what they had, is explained in the New. If I'm speaking to anybody who's Jewish this morning, don't be afraid of the New Testament, because if you read it, just simply go read it. It will answer what is brought up in the Old Testament. What is promised in the Old is answered in the New. The prophesying of it in the Old is the fulfillment of it in the New. That's why the references go back and forth from Old Testament to New to Old, God's Holy Bible. Church, if this is in your thinking, get it out of your thinking. That there's a God of the Old Testament and there's a God of the New Testament. That's crazy thinking and it's not biblical. He's the same God. He's the same one. And the grace, the mercy, the love, the compassion, and the old is the same in the new. The new is the same in the old. Don't think like that. I don't even know where that thinking comes from. Maybe from people who don't read their entire Bible. But God is dedicated to detail. She's going to conceive. She's going to bear a son. Look at number three. His name shall be called Jesus. More on that in a moment. Number four, he will be great. Megas is the word in Greek. There'll be nobody like him ever. Five, he will be called the Son of the Highest. Make no mistake about it. Jesus will be the Son of the Highest. This word also speaks of absolute uniqueness. There is no other Jesus. And Paul warns against that thing. Number six, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's never had that throne. He doesn't have it right now. He must receive that throne. But the Bible here, according to the voice, according to the word of the angel, the Lord God will give the throne of his father David to him. That is his descendant David. Number seven is found in verse 33. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Number eight, of his kingdom there will be no end. Before we move on, look at what I pointed out to be number three of these tremendous attributes of the coming Christ. Number three is that his name would be Jesus. We say simply in Greek, Jesus or Isus in Greek, but Isus comes from the Hebrew word, though it's Greek, it's rooted in the Hebrew word. Listen, and I'll give it to you, and you might want to jot it down. Yeshua, which is Greek for Jesus. You've got Jesus, you've got Joshua, you've got Yeshua, but listen, you also have Yehoshua. And what do these names mean? They're linked together. They're one. They're premised upon one. Keep this in mind. Jesus' name means salvation. Yehoshua, you guys know this. Yah, remember what Yah is? Yah, like hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise Yah, the Lord. Yah is his name. Yehoshua is the Lord is my salvation. Isus, or Jesus, or Joshua, Yeshua is salvation, or the Lord is my salvation. This is important. You say, well, okay, but it was a common name, Jack. There were a lot of people in Jesus' day named Jesus. That's true. But this one coming into the world is unlike all others. Because why? He has a book written about him called the Bible. Thousands of years written in advance. No other Jesus or Jesus or Jesus or Joshua has had such a thing. And not only that, it's given to great specific detail. And you have the declaration made in Isaiah, as I said a moment ago. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which is Emmanuel in Hebrew, is God dwells among us. Now watch this. If Yahushua, if the Lord is our salvation, and the Lord our salvation, are you guys with me? Yes. If the Lord our salvation is going to save us, his name Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14, declares to us his mission. He will dwell with us. I have this question for you. In all of history, do you have anything like this story of a Bible written in advance concerning this Jesus, whose name would mean salvation, who would come from the God of our salvation, who would not only come, but he would go through all of the requirements to purchase for you forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So that Jesus, in fact, is the Emmanuel who becomes our salvation. God is reaching mankind in a very, very wonderful, overt, yes, somewhat cryptic in some regards. You've got to go search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Yes, that's true. But it is in your face, so to speak. God is announcing, my son, and he does it by the Gabriel or by the angel Gabriel, my son Jesus. He'll be the son of the highest. He'll be the son of God. It is a clear announcement of the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world. It's no wonder why celebrating the birth of Jesus as our Savior is under attack. Church, I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I don't care if you celebrate Christmas in September, November, or December. I don't care. I celebrate it. I try to every day. It's Christmas every day in my life. Why? Because the celebration of Christmas was introduced later on in church history, but it was to acknowledge the birth of God's Messiah into the world. I understand all that. But I am not about to localize it to one day of the week or one day of the year. The truth of the matter is, the world doesn't want it to be recognized at all. So they're trying to remove Jesus out of Christmas. Happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Interesting, huh? Well, here's the announcement given in the Bible about the Messiah coming into the world, and it is wonderful. It is glorious. And so the Bible says, look at verse 35, "And the angel announced to her and said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the highest will come upon you," or ensconce you, wrap you up. "Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." Church, I'm going to give you a little bit about this word, and on we go. It's kind of both hard to explain, but I think you can see it better in your imagination. The word that Mary was to be experiencing the overcoming or the overshadowing is the actual word of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? She's going to conceive Jesus, but it's not going to be by normal human means whatsoever. It is experienced in Mary's life by the presence of God, the very visitation of God, the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? The word used here tells us how. When she's overshadowed, it's a word used. Now, I hope you get this. It's precious. It's very, very provocative, in my opinion. It's very beautiful. It's the same word used that when the high priest would go in before the Holy of Holies, and remember the Ark of the Covenant would be there, and to remember he would offer up the sacrificial blood once a year for the sins of the nation, and the blood would be presented upon the mercy seat, and the glory, the Shekinah glory of God would appear above the two cherubim, the angels, and the glory of God emanated. And in that sense, watch, I know it's hard to say. Instead of the mercy seat being covered in shadows, that's not possible because God is light. The mercy seat was covered in light because God is light. Are you with me? So we see Mary being visited by, or shall be visited by, the Holy Spirit, and when he, the Holy Spirit, overshadows her, the presence of God will come into the vicinity where Mary is at, a house, a kitchen, a room, we don't know. When it happens, the glory of God, the light of the Lord will cover her. And she will be touched by the divine hand of God. And without human means, she will be pregnant. It is truly, truly a miracle. And watch what happens. How does this transpire? It says here that verse 35, the Holy One that was born to you shall be called the Son of God. Look with me, verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, the angel speaks, has also conceived a son in her old age. We got that last time. And this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren. Or in other words, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. You're going to be pregnant soon. And so she got a 6 month head start on you. She's pregnant also by miraculous means. Who was once barren, now she's pregnant. Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they got a baby cooking there. She's 6 months along. And Mary, your visitation will be altogether different. It'll be divine. But watch this. She says he says in verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary says in verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Is that not sweet? Is she not amazing? This young girl, her faith. And the angel departed from her. You say, Jack, but didn't she doubt when she said a moment ago? Wasn't she like Zechariah in our earlier study? Not at all. She's not doubting that God could do it. She is doubting her qualifications as being the one. Who am I? Isn't that how you and I feel as well? Who am I that God would use me? Well, listen, my friend, God wants to do a work in our lives. And in verses 39 to 58, he wants to do so by touching us, by touching our lives in most powerful ways. And listen, God is a God of all caring, and he does so down to the very core of our lives as he touches us. Look at verses 39 to 45. Now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. She's headed south toward Jerusalem. By the way, that's about 100 miles. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. She enters Zechariah's house. Watch this. She says hi to Elizabeth. Watch what happens. And it happened. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Church, will you take out your pen and circle the word leaped or leapt? This is fun. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I got to stop there. This is too cool. Elizabeth's there. Mary comes. Mary comes in the door and she says, hi, Elizabeth. Whatever she says, shalom, heard you're pregnant, what's cooking? The moment Elizabeth hears Mary's words, watch, does Elizabeth leap for joy? No. Who leaps for joy? John the Baptist inside of her. You say, well, wait a minute, it's only a piece of tissue. Not according to God, not according to the Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called God at Work, a study taken from Luke chapter 1, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's topical series called Life and the Bible. Man, if you heard any of it, you can well imagine that we've had quite the response. Well, you can still visit us at realradioactive.org and get your copy on CD or DVD. Again, it's called the Life and the Bible series, and you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR. Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.